Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Jeff Milsom and Jason Hubbard from Envista. And today we're going to talk about 5 ways to save on transportation by acting like a big shipper. This was there's a lot of focus these days on small and mid-sized shippers, and the fact that many of them are looking for opportunities to improve on their supply chain logistics operations. But some of them think that, some of the options available to them are not there because they don't have the same transportation spend as some of their, larger, companies out in the industry. So today we're going to explore really different ways that, particularly small and mid-sized shippers can, leverage to drive operational efficiencies and savings from their transportation. So it's great to have both Jeff and Jason here today to kind of discuss that topic and share their perspective on this topic. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this interactive. So if you've got a question for Jeff or Jason as we're coming along here, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature. And if we've got time and it's a good and appropriate question, I'll try to weave those into the conversation. And also just a reminder that if you do want to ask a question and you are joining us as a visitor, you do have to sign in first before you can ask a question. So with that, Jeff, Jason, welcome to the program.
Thanks very
Thank you. It's
much
a
for
pleasure
having
to
us
be here.
again, Adrian.
Now, Jeff, I don't see you. Jason, are you able to see Jeff?
I'm not.
Yes, I'm not sure your camera is engaged, Jeff. So I'm gonna go ahead and I was going to ask you the first question, but I'll go ahead and ask Jason the first question, and maybe I'll while Jason is answering, I'll see if I can get you back on camera here. So Jason, in a recent white paper, you wrote that many small and mid-sized shippers suffer from the mindset of I'm not Walmart, right? Which I loved. But what do you mean by that, and what are the consequences of having that mindset?
Yeah, so many of the things that we hear from shippers all the time is that we're not the Walmarts, we're not the Targets of the world, and there are a lot of benefits that come from being a shipper of that scale. You have more leverage in your discussions with carriers. You have more control over your vendor base, inbound routing, perhaps. But what that does to a small to medium-sized business that engages in that mindset is it really prevents them from driving innovation through change. Because a lot of approaches will be discredited very quickly, just based on the sole fact that you're not the size and scale of some of the larger shippers. So to that point, it'll prevent you from being able to drive change within your organization and how you interact with your partners outside of the organization. But really, there are a lot of approaches that are applicable to small to medium-sized business. Not everyone will be, but there are a lot of opportunities to learn from some of the tactics that they engage with and that could drive change and improvement within your organization.
Right. No, I agree with that. And I think for a lot of companies, small mid-sized companies, they're so used to working with kind of spreadsheets and fax machines, and some of them feel like, well, I'm not a Walmart, right? I don't have the same size of operation, and I think I'm getting by with kind of the way I'm doing things, not realizing that yeah, maybe they are getting by, but they're actually leaving money on the table, right?
Exactly, and there's a lot of points to the admin fees that are associated with servicing transportation, not only on the carrier side, but also on the shipper side, to where maybe that spreadsheet right now is 50 or 75 lines long, but to be able to ruthlessly automate your process, you can really drive those admin fees down on your side. And with the process improvement, with automation, come things such as data integrity, the ability to communicate the data as cleanly and as effectively as possible, which also drive savings opportunities or efficiency opportunities down the road, down the stream of operation.
Right. Many small and mid-sized shippers, again, kind of they believe that, because the transportation spend is so small, that, you know, compared to a lot of shippers that, you know, they don't have much levers to pull with carriers, right? So for carriers, in their mindset is, you know, their carriers are really interested or only interested in, you know, the fact that they're spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in freight, right? But the reality is that, you know, size is not the only thing that matters to carriers, right? I mean, what else matters to carriers beyond just size?
A couple of the other factors would be serviceability of the freight. So if you have very, what we call happy freight, heavy dense freight, you still have the ability to work with the carriers because that will also help reduce their admin fees or wasted space on their trailers to be able to service your freight. And another thing that goes along with that is the ability to present your shipping information or your shipping profile to those carriers effectively will help drive better negotiations. Carriers will be able to understand your network a little bit better, and that way they can bring more competitive pricing to the table. So it's definitely a function of not only size and volume of freight, but the quality of freight, what lanes, and how specific you are with your lane detail that you can work with the carriers to secure competitive pricing.
Great. Jeff, it seems like we got you back on, so hopefully we'll be able to keep you back on. So we've been having the conversation here in terms of, you know, kind of the drawbacks of small shippers thinking, well, I'm not Walmart, right? And kind of what the negative consequences of having that mindset are. And then thinking that, you know, since they don't have a large freight spend, they really don't have much to, you know, leverage or much to kind of discuss with carriers that can also provide them with some, you know, make themselves attractive to carriers. Your thoughts on both those points? Jeff, can you hear me? Well, it seems like even though we got Jeff back on the camera, I'm not sure he can see and hear us. So we'll just continue, Jason, with the conversation. I think unfortunately we're not able to resolve the issues with Jeff at this time. You know, so going back to me, I mentioned that, you know, for a lot of small shippers, you know, they tend to work with, you know, spreadsheets and fax machines and, you know, dialing for diesels, so on and so forth. You know, a step up from that is, you know, they actually go and they use, you know, a lot of the carrier websites to plan and execute their shipments. But, I mean, obviously, there's got to be better options than, you know, hitting, you know, multiple carrier websites. I mean, what do you see as some of the kind of leading practices or other ways that small and mid-sized shippers can be more effective?
Good question. Very important here, and a lot of value-added activities can go into this particular question, the primary being, admin fees, having to search through numerous carrier sites. One of the things that small to medium-sized shippers can do is engage technology that allows them to manage their carrier quotes or carrier rates within a system so that they can really have that comparability to their routing selection. So potentially engaging technology to be able to provide you with all the rates that you have on file for a zip-to-zip will allow you to make the best routing choice. On top of that, there are several solutions out there that will draw in rating software that will allow the user to, one, manage, especially in the LTL world, manage their discount rates on a lane by lane and really fact-check the carrier in real time at the point of execution. So they can say, you know, we have these pre-negotiated rates, and they tender the freight to a particular LTL carrier, and then later when the carrier sends back an invoice, you really have that snapshot of what the carrier rate you selected for a particular route to be able to compare to what you booked at the time of the shipment. Another thing that comes back into, we've worked with many clients that do all of their track and trace within you know, by pinging those carrier websites. That can take a lot of time. You're waiting on the updates to be provided to that interface so that you can track the status of your freight and possibly report that to your customers. Well, by being able to engage a technology or a practice where that information is delivered to you in a single source, single place, really reduces the amount of time that you have to do jumping or just navigating around to different websites, as well as it really gives you clarity of the big picture. So by being able to have that one-stop shop for rates or tracking information, you really be able to begin to see the bigger picture of what's happening within your network and really drive exception management. And with exception management, you can be more proactive at identifying ongoing issues that perhaps are costing you money either in holding or handling fees, but also really address the root issue of the problem. And you know, the goal would be to completely eliminate that problem or improve the situation. But sometimes when you're doing it in such a segmented fashion by hitting different carrier sites, you might have one lane that delivers, you know, 2 days late every single time, but it's serviced by four or five carriers, and you don't really see the nature of the problem until you can compile all that information and put it in a format where you can say, oh, this particular lane, maybe I need to go have discussions with either a particular carrier terminal or address this from my facility. Maybe they're doing something that's holding up the transaction.
Right. So, I mean, I think just to paraphrase a little bit about what you said there, I mean, I think one of the limitations of kind of hitting multiple, you know, carrier websites is it kind of makes business intelligence and analytics, you know, that much more difficult, right? Because ultimately, you know, what you want to do as a transportation executive is you want to drive continuous improvement. But if your kind of data and information is fragmented across different sites, you know, it kind of makes it very difficult to kind of get that holistic view of really what's going on with your transportation operations. It's kind of, is that a fair assessment of kind of what I heard you say there?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to communicate.
Now, I mean, one of the things, you know, that I've seen, particularly, you know, when I talk to a lot of the TMS, transportation management systems vendors, is, you know, a lot of them are becoming much more focused on the small and mid-sized market as well. And, you know, you guys over at Invista also work with a lot of, you know, TMS implementations and working with customers that are looking for TMSs and so on and so forth. What are you seeing on that front in terms of demand for transportation management systems among the small and mid-sized segment of the market?
That's a good question. And, you know, recently we have seen somewhat of an uptick in the realization of having a transportation problem. Many organizations really, in the early days, you know, followed through what they could execute, process that they could execute the freight. And now what we're seeing is organizations want more more visibility into, you know, not only how are they performing, but how are they performing against the market. So there are several solutions out there that will provide the ability to see potentially market rates, so you can gauge yourself against those particular benchmarks, and also really try to work with your carriers to be at, you know, have a competitive market rate. From the solution side of it, there are TMSs that are working to integrate not only rating functionality, but you can also integrate the that market software where you can quickly search rates and even secure a carrier through a portal or a dashboard to where it's a few clicks of a button instead of, you know, calling half a dozen carriers and trying to assess where your market rate is and then go for the carrier with the service and the rate that's competitive.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, certainly, I mean, I think one of the interesting things is, you know, software as a service and cloud computing, I mean, that's been around for a very long time, you know, relatively speaking here. And I know in the early days, you know, a lot of the folks were thinking, well, this is going to be kind of a great deployment model, you know, price point, so on and so forth for the small and mid-sized market. And it turned out that kind of the early adopters of software as a service and cloud were actually the large companies. But I think today, you know, we're actually seeing kind of the small and mid-sized market kind of moving toward kind of the TMS model and looking at the opportunities there. You know, certainly, you know, technology is only part of the puzzle, right? I think for a lot of small and mid-sized companies, they also lack kind of the internal knowledge and expertise, you know, kind of the people side of things internally to help them with, you know, transportation procurement at the front end, as well as the day-to-day management. But they've also been very reluctant to kind of hire, you know, to outsource or to hire, you know, consultants or third parties to kind of help them out in that area. I think it goes back to kind of that I'm not Walmart type of mentality. Is like, whoa, that's something that the big guys do. It's very expensive. very disruptive. You know, we're a smaller shop. You know, we that probably doesn't make sense for us to hire consultants or to outsource some of the things. I mean, what options do small and mid-sized companies have in terms of finding knowledgeable external help?
Yeah, there are several options, some of them being free and others being a little more expensive, as you mentioned, consultants. They're a growing branch of the industry where there's a lot of boutique consulting that really can measure up against your scale of your operation. But there are also a lot of other information sources, such as Talking Logistics or industry magazines are a good resource where you can see how the big shippers are approaching situations and see if any of that would apply to your model. There's also the ability to get involved with local professional groups such as the CSCMP, where you can and really gain some insight from their experience that they've had that could apply to you and help you improve the situation that you're in. So while we always enjoy coming on site with clients, there's a lot of education that can happen beforehand. Doesn't cost anything other than someone reviewing those sources of information. And a lot of times companies will also have white papers that you can download and read to gain insight to different practices within the industry.
Right. I mean, I think one of the benefits today, particularly with social networking and with the proliferation of blogs, and things like what we're doing here at Talking Logistics and others, there certainly is a lot of avenues to get some, thought leadership and advice and expertise, out there in terms of getting that help. But I think even on the one of the things that I've talked about a lot over the past few years is kind of the merging of technology with consulting, with managed services, and that there really is a diversity of business models out there today and service providers out there that is not, I guess for a lot of, companies, especially small and mid-sized, it's either they may have the perception that it's either outsource everything or keep everything in-house, or it's work with a big three consulting firm or try to do it all on your own. And the reality is, I mean, I guess to your point, is that, there's a variety of different avenues and options out there and even, that provide a different price points and different packages of services and technology that can be aligned to the specific needs and price points of companies in that market, in that small and mid-sized market.
Absolutely. And to your point about the diversity of service providers, you can also engage your existing service providers, whether that's a carrier or if you have a 3PL service, you can engage them for some insights into a particular problem. And generally, they're happy to help you, as well as potential service providers that you can ask a few questions to just to gain some value out of the experiences that they've had.
Right, right. So we've talked about technology. We've talked about kind of the people side. I think the other aspect that we always talk about is obviously process, right? And making organizational changes perhaps to, drive addition, some of these transportation savings and drive some additional, efficiencies. So, does acting like a big shipper also mean kind of making organizational changes? And what are some of the factors that, companies should consider in terms of, the changes that they should be thinking about to gain those benefits?
Yeah, sometimes there is a need for organizational change, but sometimes there isn't. Maybe it's just process refinement, and especially with small to medium-sized shippers, what we tend to see is that it's more of a realignment of tasks that could potentially gain efficiencies between either reducing the amount of exchange that people need to go through to execute a process or have a different skill set available for that particular process. Some of the factors that may drive that, in particular, is need. So when we think of a process, we kind of break it down into its sub-elements and identify who needs to be touching what element and when. And that way we can take a step back and really view, okay, well, Cindy is handling steps 1, 3, and 6, and Joe handles 2 and 4. Well, if you don't handle 1, 2, and 3, and Cindy handle the back end. So sometimes there is a need for organizational change, but with small to medium-sized shippers, it's really about defining the roles that people have. The next opportunity would be more around the execution process. A couple of things we had mentioned, having better lane data to be able to negotiate better contracts or make your organization more presentable. But really having access to that lane data will provide you with insights, and big shippers will review that lane data on a regular basis to be able to understand what is happening, as close to real time as they can within their transportation network. Another aspect might be a routing guide. So this can work in a couple of different fashions, whether it's a particular lane that a carrier has better service on, and you can then provide your customer with better service, but routinely visiting that routing guide, assessing how that carrier performs on one lane will drive those efficiencies and quality of service. And that's not something you have to be a big shipper to do. It just takes that mentality of getting in the routine of going back and analyzing your historical data on a regular basis so that you can identify those trends and leverage those. Another thing would be around consolidation and mode shift. So a lot of people will think that, we just have all these one-off shipments, but when you take a step back and look at it and see, well, if I can extend my shipping window by a day here or a day there, or my delivery window by a day, I can drive these consolidation opportunities that I've seen done in spreadsheets. The technology is definitely a huge asset in that arena, but be able to consolidate shipments over time to really drive a mode shift. And when you look at something like taking either 4 or 5 LTLs and get them on a rail car to ship across the country, those are kind of the bigger steps that will really allow you to drive a larger amount of savings. Consolidation opportunities don't apply to every shipper, but just taking a look and understanding your network from a bigger perspective will really help you drive other things like understanding your lane data better, how you affect your routing guide, or how you can take steps to reduce admin fees.
Yeah, you brought up, mode conversion. That was a question that I also had in mind, because, it seems to me that's, something that a lot of big shippers have been doing, for a few years now, and kind of looking to move away from reducing the amount of LTL, even truckload, and move more to intermodal, as an example. And I think you're even seeing it at a higher level today, even with the ocean shipments, right? And looking at what happened with the West Coast ports, and looking at, perhaps moving things in through the East Coast more, and kind of looking at the diversity of kind of just the way that product moves and the product flows. Any more to add on that point in terms of, some of the opportunities? Are you seeing, small shippers, or you see that as an opportunity for small shippers as well to kind of look at product flows and the different ports that they use and the modes as kind of looking at that from a more holistic network-wide analysis? Doing more of that kind of provide some opportunities for savings?
I can say we definitely see the desire to do that. Not every organization is going to have the capability to dive in at a very granular level and be able to provide those stats. But what we're seeing more in the medium-sized area is that shippers are shipping collaboratively, so they may work with a 3PL that will help drive their savings by being able to put their freight in a customer pool. That really makes it more attractive for things like mode shift. And to your point about the ports, we do see customers that are taking that into account where, if I ship it through LA, it's going to take me an extra 10 or 12 or 15 days because of the backlog that's in the port. But if I route it up north with 3PL or another forwarder, we can have the ability to ship that out on time and still make it closer to delivering on time. So I would say that's most applicable when you start getting into the arena of collaborative shipping, but there's definitely opportunity for small to medium-sized business to at least understand what drives their network and where they can take those advantages.
Great. Well, you know, we're coming up short on time here, so kind of as a way to wrap up, Jason. I mean, you know, we talked about a variety of different things today. You know, so of all the things that we talked about, I mean, what's the first step small and mid-sized shippers do to, you know, today to start acting, you know, like a large shipper?
I would say the first step would really to take a step back from your process, see where your pain points are, your bottlenecks, and really drill into those to collect data around those particular aspects of your process to be able to say, okay,
looks like we've lost Jason's connection here, so let's see if we can get him back up here as he's summarizing the key points here. Sometimes, you know, with you know, these live episodes, you know, Murphy's Law kicks in, but I think, you know, certainly as Jason kind of gets back on camera here, you know, I think overall, I think the bottom line of kind of why this topic is of particular interest to me is, you know, one of my predictions for 2015 was that, you know, a growing number of both 3PLs and technology companies and other service providers would, you know, start focusing more greatly on the small and mid-sized shipper market. And the reality is that, you know, that segment of the market has as complex and, you know, as great of opportunities in their supply chain logistics processes as some of the big guys do. You know, perhaps the scale isn't as large, or perhaps the you know, the complexity isn't as great, but nonetheless, there are real opportunities and real challenges that they face. And the reality is that on the one hand, some of those shippers feel like the available services and solutions out there may not be right for them because they're not a Walmart or a large shipper. And then on the other hand, you know, they just don't even know that they're leaving money on the table. You know, they're kind of working through spreadsheets and fax machines and the like. And, you know, it's really not realizing that they can be capturing so much more cost savings, be much more competitive on the service front, so on and so forth, by really looking at some of the best practices and leading practices that some of the larger companies have adopted and really making that, you know, their own as well. You know, it looks like we've lost Jason here. I don't see him back on. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get the wrap up from them today, but if we didn't get any questions live today, but if you do have any questions for Jason or Jeff, who couldn't get on today, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com and post your question or comment there. And I'm sure they would be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.